Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion on politics, human rights, and the environment. I'm Dori Smith.
The four overseas ballots are four votes for Joe Courtney.
Democrats are savoring another big win in Connecticut after a recount showed Joe Courtney beating Republican Rob Simmons by 91 votes in Connecticut's 2nd congressional district. Courtney's campaign gained momentum as more and more unions got behind him. He was for bringing U.S. troops home from Iraq and had argued for greater accountability for the Bush administration. Courtney disagreed with Simmons' yes vote on the Military Commissions Act, and the former state representative and lawyer is expected to take a strong interest in civil rights and liberties, as well as health care. Courtney helped the state develop a working prescription drug plan for low-income families.
Technically, we could figure it all out.
I'll give them to you. For Simmons, it's 737, and for Courtney, it's 1041. Simmons had the same number of votes as last time. Courtney had one additional vote.
One additional?
Joe Courtney began with a 167-point lead, and supporters of both candidates watched nervously as one town after another added or subtracted votes during the troubled recount. To make matters more complicated for election officials, 25 towns used AccuVote optical scan voting machines for the first time. 10 of those towns were in the 2nd District, and 16 votes were incorrectly counted by 2nd District officials using optical scan machines. Voting rights groups have been concerned about a lack of uniform protocols for poll workers to use when operating the AccuVote optical scan machines manufactured by Diebold. The company has had trouble with glitches in the past, but this time there would be a paper trail, and machine experts and voters were all reassured. Yet human error did creep in. There was a lack of uniform decision-making about how votes should be read when the machines couldn't read them, and which votes should be accepted or discarded if the marks were unclear. Then came the question of what to do in the event that a machine jammed or failed. We went to recounts in two towns in Connecticut's 2nd District and got on the phone to ask elections officials and voting machine technicians what the protocols were for dealing with malfunctioning machines and unclear ballots. The Secretary of State's office reported that in the event of a glitch, ballots were to be counted by hand. Elections officials in the towns we went to couldn't locate any written protocols from the Secretary of State's office. Meanwhile, two employees of LHS, the company providing the machines out of Massachusetts, said they were supposed to be opening machines, removing memory cards, reprogramming memory cards, and possibly even using backup machines they had hand-carried to the polls. It was a security nightmare, and at its core was a tolerance for the basic principles of outsourcing America's elections to private companies. This election, more than any other, should have led Secretary of State Susan Bisewitz to write airtight rules for dealing with voting machines. Her experts found serious security flaws with the memory cards in October. We turned to Professor Michael Fisher of Yale University for help in understanding what was going on. Fisher helped found TrueVote Connecticut, the group that was instrumental in making a paper ballot mandatory for Connecticut voters.
The machines have some serious security problems that were uncovered by the UConn group that the Secretary of the State has contracted with to evaluate the security of the machines. And what they have showed is that these machines are completely vulnerable to misprogramming of the memory cards, so that it becomes crucial to protect the memory cards while the machines are being set up and used to protect them from possible tampering. It also is crucial that the memory cards are programmed correctly in the first place.
Why don't you tell us the perfect scenario for how a voting machine would be handled during either the voting or recounting of the votes?
Let me address the recount procedures first. There are regulations that are created and maintained by the Secretary of the State's office. The regulations that, so far as I'm aware, are in effect for recounting the optical scan machines were produced in, I believe, 1999, before many of the security vulnerabilities were understood. And so they prescribe for a recount that most of the ballots simply get fed through the scanner a second time. Now, this is not adequate to ensure the integrity of the election, because if the scanner has been compromised through fraudulent programming of the memory card, and they run it through a second scanner with a copy of that memory card, the rigged results of the election would be the same in the recount as they were originally. So the only way to uncover that kind of fraud is to actually hand count the ballots. And my understanding is that has not been done as part of this recount.
In terms of the proper handling of these specific machines during a recount, would you say that there would be a best-case scenario in terms of who would handle these machines? In other words, would it be a problem, let's say, for someone from a voting machine supplier to be changing the machines in case the one had malfunctioned, to be providing the replacement machine and going ahead and dealing with the memory cards and so on? Is that a problem? And if so, what should happen?
Absolutely. I don't know of anything that undermines the confidence of an election more than to have the vendor of the machine come in and modify the machine during the election process or the recount process. There were incidents of this occurring in the 2004 election in Ohio, and they fueled much of the distrust in voting that we have seen right now, and for good reason, because a technician going into the machine, again, has complete control over what the outcome of that machine is.
Now, let's say hypothetically that there were backup machines or auxiliary machines, and those were used during the recount, and I watched two of these. And I did observe that some of the poll workers seemed to know, and I asked them, some knew that they were supposed to be handling the machines if there was a problem. Others did not know and seemed to be very dependent on asking the LHS representatives what to do and in relying on them to make changes if changes needed to be made. And so I did look into this further and found, in fact, that the LHS representatives did say that they were there to fix the machines, that they were there in the event that there was a need for a different machine. In fact, they had one with them in their car. So the protocol was not the same or was not exact in the minds of these LHS people versus the people at the polls who were the voting officials. Just talk about how airtight that whole thing needs to be.
The voting officials need to follow the rules as prescribed by the Connecticut statutes and as fleshed out by regulations from the Secretary of the State. So if they are left in a position without having adequate procedures to follow, it's the Secretary of the State from which those procedures should come. It is not responsible to then turn to a private company and say, oh, we don't know what the regulation should be. We'll just let this private company tell us.
If LHS were to both provide the machine and then make repairs during an election, would you say that has some resemblance to outsourcing of this election?
Exactly. LHS is a private company, and they also happen to be located outside of our state. I'm not going to say anything about whether they did or did not act inappropriately. I have no information on that. But I can say that they had the power to corrupt the election if they had chosen to do so. And I do not think that any individual or any private company should be given the power to determine the outcome of our election.
Michael Fisher is a professor of computer science at Yale and one of the founding members of True Vote Connecticut, truevotect.org. His group was instrumental in helping pass legislation to require a paper ballot. We spoke with two LHS employees who were present during second district recounts. We met Tom Burge in Bolton and spoke with him as the ballots were being recounted. Then we phoned him at LHS the next day, and I asked him to describe what happened when a ballot jammed.
A ballot went through, and it was jammed. And the ballot was read, and it tells you that on the readout. It said, counted ballot jammed in reader. And all we had to do was slide the machine out and drop the ballot into the ballot box. And all the observers saw it as, you know, we did that too. And that was the only jam the whole night long.
And so that was your task to do that?
Pretty much. And just answer any specific questions about the machines to anyone that was there.
Now, what were your instructions in case the failure had been more significant? What would you have then done? Let's say the machine stopped functioning in the middle of a recount.
If the machine stopped functioning, we try to determine why that happened. They have another backup machine at the town of Bolton. So what you would do in that case would be take the memory card out, break the seal on the memory card they had there, and use another machine if that machine could not be read. So you would just replace the machine and put the memory card in, which stores all the information, the ballot information, the totals, and put the memory card into the new machine to be read. And that would all be done with the moderator there and all the observers there, too.
And so the memory card would be, in other words, it would have read to a certain point, and then you would...
Right. Once you take the memory card out, there's a count on it. And once you put the old memory card in, again, when they're using it, it'll come out with the same count.
What if, for whatever reason, there was a problem with that second machine? What would you do then?
I brought a backup machine with me. So we had, they had a backup machine there, and I brought a backup machine with me from LHS. There was at least two backup machines.
Tom Burge of LHS Associates, providers of Connecticut's new optical scan voting machines manufactured by Diebold. Daniel Tapper, the Secretary of State's Communications Director, said ballots would be hand-counted if there were glitches with the machines. He also said LHS technicians like Burge would not be handling the machines at all during the recount process. We asked another LHS technician, Mike Carlson, to talk about what he thought he was supposed to do on site in Ashford, Connecticut, during the 2nd District recount.
We're here for other things. I mean, the machine could seize and not, they're putting a lot of ballots through these machines, like in Old Lyme. They put 3,500 ballots through this machine all at the same time. If that machine malfunctions for any reason, we're here to have backup machines to support the process in case the machine should fail. If the memory card fails to record ballots for any reason, as it would on November 7th, it can happen, then we are here with backup equipment to ensure that we can retest the election, reprogram the memory card, put it in election mode, and ensure that the process can be either restarted, if necessary, from scratch, or can continue from where it stopped if indeed the scanner broke down.
Let's say you're standing there and one of the town officials, the elections officials, is running ballots for the re-canvas. And all of a sudden, the machine stops functioning. What does Mike Carlson do next?
The moderator would come to me and say, Mike, we seem to have a problem with the machine. I would go forward and look at the machine, and then based upon what was happening, for example, if the AccuVote refused to take ballots, in most cases, the AccuVote probably had something in its optics that would stop it taking ballots. Could have been a piece of paper, could have been anything, so it ceases to take a ballot. In that particular case, we would take our spare machine, we would break the seal on the memory card because the memory card is sealed in that machine. The moderator would tell everybody that the machine has ceased to function and we're going with the backup machine. We would break the seal on the existing memory card. We would let everybody know that we have done that. We would take the memory card out of the disabled scanner. We would bring a new scanner on board. We would insert the memory card into the new scanner. We would reseal that memory card. We would tell everybody what the new seal number was. And the memory card, because there is memory in the card, would automatically pick up the election as to where it ceased to take ballots. So, for example, we were running ballots through, and the public counter said 300, and the machine failed to take any more ballots. Removing the memory card and putting the new memory card into a new scanner, once we fired that scanner back up, the election would be at 300 because the memory card remembers where it left off. It would not lose any ballots. We would not have to start from scratch. It would pick up exactly where we left off.
So you could keep going with that same machine?
Right. If it was a memory card failure, say, for example, in the middle of the election, the memory card said okay to format, or the memory card ceased to to the public counter went away and the memory card just lost it. When you looked at the LCD display, it was completely blank, or it would say okay to format or something with the memory card. Then in that particular case, we would have to reprogram a backup memory card, which I was given. We would have to run the test deck, the 25-ballot test deck that the town's prepared to run on the machine on Tuesday, November 7th. We would rerun that test deck. We would prove the memory card, and then we would put the machine back into election mode and then take the ballots that were sitting in the container and refeed them one by one until we get caught back up. And that's how we would handle a memory card failure.
Okay, and in terms of the Secretary of State's office and their written instructions to you, are those available somewhere online, those written instructions about on a step-by-step basis what you are...
I'll have to talk to my bosses to see if there's anything that definitive written down. I mean, this is protocol that LHS, and it's within the moderator's handbook, and it's within our training that we know what happens during days when it's either a memory card failure or a machine failure, how we're supposed to handle it. Is it documented? I'm not sure. I can try to find out. Maybe you can call Secretary of State and see if that's documented. I don't have anything on me.
In terms of what the Secretary of State ordered to keep the elections uniform, you all were not given a working protocol from her. You were using your own internal protocols.
No, before I left the office, in conversation with John Silvestro and Jerry Bergeron, who are the president and vice president of LHS, and communications with the Secretary of State, we were giving marching orders as to how LHS was supposed to conduct themselves during the election. And it was a simple one-page sheet that it was told what machine they were supposed to use, if the machine wasn't prepared for election, that they had it prepared for election, how the ballots were going to be looked at and what ballots were going to be refed to the machine, and which ones were going to be held back for hand counting, and that LHS was supposed to take a technical role in this, and that was all. And that was basically the instructions that I was given before I left LHS to do my first recount in Mansfield. Everything else would be protocol that we would follow on any election day on a machine failure. I've been doing AccuVote elections in the state of Massachusetts for about 9 years, so I understand the protocols and what's supposed to happen when machines fail, and how to fix the failures.
Okay, and was that
documented to me in where? No, it wasn't. It was documented to me in how I was supposed to conduct myself and what we were looking for. But as far as handling equipment, that was kind of innate to what I'm supposed to do on any election day.
So,
State has something. I'd have to contact John York or somebody at Secretary of State's office and see if there was a document like that. I know the moderators, though, have their handbook, which is written specifically for them, and they had their own instructions that were written specifically for them as to how they were supposed to handle this recount.
I had asked a question of the Secretary of State's office myself, and I received a paragraph explanation back in return to my question of, you know, what your role would be on the scene. And here, I'm just going to read a few sentences for you. It says here, LHS Associates, which markets and services the optical scan machines used in this election, are on hand to answer questions elections officials may have regarding the operation of the machine. However, they will not be handling the machines at all during the recount process. Designated local elections officials are the only ones who will be handling the machines themselves. In case something goes wrong with an optical scan machine during a recount and a perfect machine cannot be located within the town, the paper ballots will then be counted by hand.
Well, we had backup equipment, so I don't think the Secretary of State, I don't think they didn't know that we had backup equipment with us. Every team had two scanners as backups. That was one of our directives when we left LHS to ensure that anybody who was going to be doing the recounts had backup equipment.
Mike Carlson of LHS Associates. He was present at the recount going on in Ashford, Connecticut, where voting officials kindly allowed us to approach with questions as they were wrapping up their recount. We asked about the contents of written instructions laid out on the table that they had been using that night. And Lauren, you're an elections official here?
Yes, I'm a deputy registrar of voters.
Lauren, what would have happened if that machine had malfunctioned? What would have been the next step?
We have another backup machine.
I noticed there's a gentleman here from LHS. Would he have been the one to set up the new machine?
No, I think it would have been the registrars. We've done the ones for the election, but I think that we would also do the backup one as well.
Did you have written instructions from the Secretary of State about all of the steps to take if a machine malfunctions?
Yes.
And did that say anything about whether or not the LHS technician would ever handle the machine?
He would not.
He would never handle
it? He would not, yes.
So in the event that, let's say, that machine needed to be swapped out with a new machine, how would that occur? I mean, in other words, he wouldn't touch it?
No, it would have to be done by the registrars, and they have the procedures. He's just there for guidance.
Now, in other cases, I've heard differing information. So let me just pursue that a little bit. The Secretary of State has a specific page of protocols on what happens if the machine malfunctions?
That I'm not certain. You'd have to check with the registrar.
Okay, so in other words, you wouldn't know if you have it there on the table?
I may have it, but I'm not certain off the top of my head.
Because what I was told is that they're working on it.
Oh.
And that there isn't a written protocol as such, and he told me when I interviewed him earlier that he was working under a protocol from LHS.
I don't know about that, so I just know that we were told that we would take care of any of the malfunctions of the machine. We have the procedures for doing that.
And so let's say the memory card from that machine, if the machine needed to be changed, what would you do with the memory card situation?
I don't know. That would be up to the registrars. I'm just a deputy, so I can't answer those questions.
Oh, I see. Okay, well, maybe I'll ask her about it.
Okay.
Okay, and sorry to take your time, but
it's okay, no problem.
I'm pursuing the aspect of this in my story of uniform voting and protocols for what happens if.
Okay, right. I like my old lever machines better.
Good. Thanks. Moderator Evelyn Falsgraf and others at the Ashford site couldn't locate the instructions on handling malfunctioning machines. One member of their team suggested that it might be somewhere upstairs. There should be no doubt that this tightly run group would have arrived at the best possible decision they could have. But the question is, why didn't the Secretary of State's office provide more clear written instructions for them? And Evelyn, you're the moderator at the recount?
Yes.
Can you tell me if you have a written protocol from the Secretary of State's office regarding what the exact steps and protocols would be in the event one of these machines would mechanically fail, maybe something wrong with the machine, in terms of what exact steps are taken?
Yes, I called the representative from LHS.
But I mean, if there was reason to, let's say, switch from that machine to another auxiliary machine, who would physically do that?
It would be done under my direction, but it would be done by whoever I appointed, and it would probably be the registrars and the representative from the machine company.
And is that written in the protocol?
I don't believe so. At least I haven't seen it written there.
Why don't you ask the mechanic?
I would defer to the company knowing more about the machine than I do.
Okay. Elections officials readily asked Mike questions, which was just what they were supposed to do when a ballot jammed.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah.
It says ballot sealed official.
Turn it over. Turn it upside down. And see.
But would they have let him do more under pressure? Another elections official in Ashford said he thought memory cards would not be removed in the event that a machine failed, but rather another machine would be selected with another memory card that had been pre-tested. The two memory cards would then be added up, he thought. Others agreed that the memory cards were not to be taken out, though uncertainty prevailed. The gentleman here from LHS told me earlier in the day when I interviewed him that he had an auxiliary machine with him.
Yes.
That he'd brought. So what would happen if your machines here failed, all of them, and then you needed to take
measures to use the machine he brought. How would you do that?
I myself haven't gone that far, having two spare machines, but I would ask the representative from LHS the proper procedure for carrying on under those circumstances.
So under those circumstances, there's a possibility that the machine that he brought could be used, and your memory card that had been in use in the machines in here would be put in that machine?
You know, I would probably ask for guidance on that, yeah, because it's, you know, we have two spare machines. The probability of the of both of those machines failing is low. I would go upstairs and look for that particular procedure before I did it.
But do you think you have it in a protocol?
We're instructed not to remove the memory card.
Yeah.
You were instructed not to?
Right.
Yeah. We're instructed to use another pre-qualified machine, which is what we do, which is what we did tonight. This was an additional pre-qualified machine.
Professor Alex Schwartzman is under contract with the state of Connecticut to look at voting machine security. He and others at the Voting Research Technology Center at the University of Connecticut School of Engineering reported that AccuVote optical scan machines could be compromised with off-the-shelf equipment in a matter of minutes, even if the machine has its removable memory card sealed in place. They recommended the state keep a strict physical custody chain, tamper-resistant protection of the voting equipment, and random post-election audits. I asked him to talk about what the LHS representatives had said, that they would take out memory cards and put them in new machines during votes or recounts.
Our recommendation also included something that LHS, for example, does not do, and that is, should the machine malfunction for whatever reason, the machine is not to be unsealed, the cards are not to be handled, and instead a second machine, which is usually available in each polling place, be pressed into service. I believe this is exactly the procedure that was followed. I realize that LHS says that, you know, open up the machines, switch the cards. This is highly unadvisable.
If the LHS representatives who were on hand for the recount in the 2nd District were under the impression that it was their responsibility, should a machine malfunction, to go ahead and open that machine up, take the memory card out, and put it into a second machine, what would have happened if the people at the polls didn't know that that was wrong?
Well, that's a very valid concern. My understanding, however, is that there was a special communication about a week or two before the election going to all polling places and to all polling workers that this is something that they should not do under any circumstances. And in fact, I have firsthand knowledge because I discussed this with some of the Mansfield workers where I voted, and they, in fact, were aware of this. And so that's what I understand.
Then are there protocols from the Secretary of State's office about how machines will be handled during recounts?
I am not aware of any particular protocols specifically designed to deal with the situation where a recount is in order. So it may be possible that there was confusion. I do not know.
Professor Alex Schwartzman is in the Engineering and Computer Science Department at the University of Connecticut. Some of the other questions raised during the 2nd District recounts we observed in Bolton and Ashford, Connecticut, came up when ballots were being studied that the election officials and observers from the two campaigns thought might have been read wrong by the machine. Some thought ballots were to be run through the machine that had just been used for the recount to see if the machine would count them. Others said this would ruin the tally on the recount machine. In Bolton, officials let observers from the campaigns speak up about which ballots were to be separated out for a hand recount and inspection. Ashford officials were more strict about who made decisions. An observer for the Republican Party, and Rob Simmons, said she felt elections officials were relying too much on the LHS technicians to tell them what to do. For Talk Nation Radio, I'm Dori Smith. Talk Nation Radio is produced in the studios of WHUS, radio for the people at UConn, the University of Connecticut. WHUS.org to listen live Wednesdays at 5 p.m., TalkNation.org and TalkNationRadio.org for transcripts and discussions.